What's up? What's up, everybody? Hope you have all been well. Thanks for joining me for another JDB podcast. Before I get started on the topic discussion of the day, I want to just throw something out there real quick. I want to talk about, like, when is it too much for women? Okay? Like, what you're doing in the gym and with your nutrition and everything, or maybe your performance enhancement if you're into that. When is it all too much? When is it scary to women and small children, and they think you're going to rape them and eat them and all that shit and beat them? Believe it or not, it can happen a long time before you think it happens. You know, I can remember when I was 21 years old, I dieted down from about 2 1/4 to 193 pounds. And at the time, I was seeing this girl who was 28 years old, and I can remember her telling me that it was almost too much. At 193, that's almost too much. And, you know, I didn't really say anything about it at the time. Actually, I took it as a compliment. I mean, I loved hearing that. I had another chick years later. I was at a bar with some friends. I was drinking that night. I said, fuck the diet. I went out drinking. And there was a girl sitting at the bar with her friends. And I remember just looking over and say, hey, how you doing? That's all I said. Hey, how are you? And this girl, she must have been drunk to be this obnoxious. But I can remember her going off about how ridiculous I looked. How stupid I looked, how, you know, it was just that's just too much, guy. That's just too much. And then she started kind of degrading me, saying, well, you know, I mean, the only reason I would call you is if I ever needed help moving furniture, you know, not realizing that I'm a very intelligent person, that I'm not some dumbass that does these, you know, blue collar backbreaking jobs anymore. There was a time where I did, but I'm not a dummy, you know, and throughout this rant and this demeaning bullshit that she's trying to throw my way, I took the high road. I started talking to one of her friends right in front of her and asked a friend if she wanted to go out for a nice dinner and this and that. And then I told her, you know, what I really do. And then I could just cut my eye over this girl and I could just see the look of disgust that her friend is about to go on a date. This guy's actually a nice guy. And she was just being a fucking bitch. Like, look, this is what you get. You know, if you come off like this, don't expect to get treated very nice. And so many guys take this kind of shit. But the reality of it is, the point I'm getting at is this girl looked at me like, what the fuck? Like a circus act just wandered into the bar. There was no appreciation for the work that went behind this. There was, you know, none of that. And it's such a double standard. Because, like, what if I looked at a girl who, I mean, they're all over the place now. We see girls in the gym wearing two-piece things, you know, their fat's falling out, their ass is huge, I mean, unproportionately huge, because they think that's what every guy wants. It's to the point where a lot of it is just, it looks fucking ridiculous, and they don't know anything about working out, nothing about nutrition, and it's like, what if I said, that's just too much, your butt looks fucking stupid, what are you doing wearing that outfit? You don't even look like you should be wearing pajamas right now. You're so out of shape. Okay. It doesn't, you know, I can't do that, but everybody thinks they got the right to criticize somebody that has done something that quite honestly takes hard work and discipline that nobody, most people don't have. They don't have a clue what it takes to get to that level of development, the type of discipline, the commitment and dedication that you have to look like that. And just because you are like that doesn't mean that you're not personable, that you're not friendly, that you're not exciting to hang around with. I mean, what if I just walked up to some fat guy on the street and said, hey, man, bakery's that way. You know, I know you're looking for something to eat, motherfucker, you know, because of the way you look. It's kind of the same thing as, you know, do you take steroids? What if I just walked up to a random chick and said, hey, is this the week you're on the reg? You on your period right now? It's kind of a personal question. Right? I'd probably get slapped in the face. But people think that they can taunt, mock, and fuck with somebody who puts in hard work to look a certain way and to look that way because that's something they enjoy. You know, maybe back in the day I got started with this because there was like some fringe benefits to it. Maybe it would be easier to get a girl or a date or to get some kind of respect. But I learned really, really quickly that doesn't last long, and that only goes so far. Once you get to a certain point, it really matters how you do carry yourself, because you can carry yourself in a way that says, hey, back the fuck off, all right? or you can entertain this bullshit to where, you know, the hits keep on coming and it just gets a little bit ridiculous. What you have to do is you have to do this because you love it, because you're passionate about it. It's self-improvement. Your hobby is just self-improvement. Your lifestyle is doing something to feel like you're bettering yourself. Fuck what people think. You do not need to fit into any certain mold. And this also comes down to what kind of gym you go to. I've had this shit in the past where these guys tell me, you know, they're thinking about going to a CrossFit gym because they think that it'll be easier to talk to girls and that's what girls want. Or they might do like a cardio kickboxing class. And the whole purpose behind their fitness endeavor is because they feel like they want to fit into a certain area or a realm where it's easier to maybe get a date. And that's the wrong reason to do it. People are going to judge you regardless. Okay? There is a small percentage of females out there that do like men that bodybuild. And they like guys that treat them well. Not guys that are like pussy whipped or beta type guys. You know, I don't suggest anybody turn themselves into a beta just to try to get a piece of ass. It's a serious role reversal. And you're doing yourself a huge injustice to do that. But that point comes a lot sooner than you think it does, where it kind of repels people. And that's why I'm saying, you know, you can't just live in the gym. You have to develop yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know, there's nothing wrong with living life, having some fun, getting outside of the gym once in a while, doing some other things, because ultimately that's what a lot of people are looking for when they look at, like, you know, a potential partner. But if you're just doing this like to say, hey, once I get to that point where women don't like it, I'm going to stop. No, because that point was probably a long time ago. To be honest with you, it probably was. You're already being looked at like, dude, what the fuck? All right. Many guys will look at me like, holy shit. Like, you know, that's, man, I'm not trying to be like you or anything. I just want to get in shape. I'm not trying to be like you or anything. I'm like, don't worry, you fucking won't. All right. If a guy who's 200 pounds that's been in the gym a while is looking at you and judging you based on that, what do you think a petite, well, if there are any petite women out there left, but what do you think she's thinking? Okay. You look fucking huge. You look huge. I got to a point where that almost motivated me more. It was like, you know what? Give them something to really be fucking scared of. Oh, you want to judge me and you don't know me? You want to start throwing all this shit out there because you automatically think you know how I am, right? I'm going to really give you a reason to be fucking terrified, bitch. You and your kids. You know, that's the point I got to where it's like, I want to take this shit and I want to run with it. Because not that it matters in my case anyway. I got a very petite, small wife who loves muscle, all right? I'm speaking in the sense that if I was out there in the dating pool, in the real world or whatever, looking for a potential partner, how I would look at it now. Fuck what they think, man. I want to stand out. I want to be big and powerful. I want to be fucking shredded. And I don't care what they think. It's all a compliment at this point. That bitch that told me back in the day that that's too much, guy, you know, I'd call you if I needed help moving furniture. You know what I said to her before I left? I said, thank you so much for telling me that. That is the nicest compliment that anybody has ever given me when it comes to the gym and when it comes to results. Thank you so much. Goodbye. And I never went out. I never went out with her friend. I just did that shit to piss her off. I didn't give a fuck about either any of them. You know, there's a group of like four or five of them, right? And in my opinion, all right, they were like fucking mediocre. Who gives a shit? They're a dime a dozen, right? This one just felt comfortable enough to shoot her mouth off. You know, looking back on it now, I'm like, that's the one that you would have banged. That's the one right there. She was so intimidated by what, just your presence. She was so intimidated, that's the only way she knew to come off. And this is a lot of them. They're so intimidated by you that the only way they know how to act is like a fucking bitch. Right? Oh, every girl must be throwing herself on him. That's what he's used to. I'm going to be the one that he has to chase. I'm going to be mean to him. And, you know, it's just it's just a bunch of shit. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But the point to what I'm telling you guys is, if we did some of this shit, if we just started fat shaming and shaming their fucking clothes and, you know, the size of their butts, or the fact that all they do is squat, but they don't have calves, right? You hear it all the time. All chicks talk about is he's got stick legs. He doesn't have calves. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have... What if, I mean, I can say the same for them. Most fucking broads don't have calves. They never work their calves. God damn. If I see a girl with a nice set of calves and a pair of heels, that shit is like kryptonite to me. I love it. I wish I could tell every girl, work the fucking shit out of your calves. But they don't do that. But I could say the same thing to them. All she does is squats. Her shoulders suck. Look at her shoulders. The shoulders, to me, is a telltale sign of a chick that's in the gym. A girl that's serious about the gym has slightly calved shoulders and some tricep definition. Let's just start there, and then we can go down from there. You know, and then we can look at other things like, you know, the calves or the quads or what have you. The abs. But it's a little ridiculous. But I'm just telling you guys, I'm going to end this topic because at this point I'm ranting. Not that I didn't start off ranting, but don't do it for anybody else but yourself. If your hobby is to become somebody out of a fucking comic book, to become someone that looks like the real life Wolverine or Captain America or what have you, then I say that's a pretty fucking cool hobby. Work your ass off to get there. I think that's the most badass hobby that you could ever have. And that's one of the reasons I started doing this, was to look. I wanted to achieve a look that I didn't think I could get to. At first, I didn't know what that look would be or how far I could take it. And then as I got into it more and more and more, I realized, hey, I love this shit, man. This is so cool. It's like I'm starring in my own movie, as Joe Rogan would say. You know, so, you know, be that guy. Don't be someone that tries to fit society's mold. All right, on to the real discussion for today. I want to talk about some things that you can kind of change up to progress forward with bodybuilding and nutrition, just the training motivation in general. And this really, really falls into the category of men that have been, or more women, that have been at this for a very long time, and what we can do to kind of stay away from the monotony of everything. What kind of changes can we make to keep adhering to results and staying away from burnout? You know, you don't want to be that guy or girl. I keep saying or girl because I didn't realize there are some females that listen to this and follow the blog. I didn't really know that until I started getting some emails from some. So, you know, it falls into both categories now. But what are some changes that we can make? The first thing I'm going to throw out there is meal adjustments. Most people, when they begin doing this, they realize they're not eating enough, okay? Most of them, they all have the same thing in common. They skip fucking breakfast. They eat lunch. They eat a big meal at night, and they go to bed. They eat twice a day. Or they just can't stop eating at all. But most of them, they just eat twice a day. They're just eating the wrong things. So I tell everybody, start simple. Start eating breakfast. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Once you got breakfast, lunch, dinner down, throw in a protein shake or two. And then maybe add to the protein shake. You add some good carbs like some rice or some potatoes or some oats, or, you know, maybe you do a protein bar, whatever. It's small steps. It's baby steps. It's little adjustments to the point where you can eat, like, say, six meals a day. All right. Most people in the gym are probably, they're serious about it and serious about their nutrition, are probably eating six times a day. The ones that don't fall for the intermittent fasting bullshit are probably doing six small meals a day. Do you have to eat six small meals a day? No, especially if you've been at this a very, very long time. And sometimes cutting the meal frequency down to, say, I don't know, four times a day, but letting yourself eat a little bit bigger each meal instead of six small meals a day, that can kind of be satisfying. You can find yourself satisfied in a way that you might not even be breaking the caloric barrier if you're trying to adhere to a certain caloric limit for the day without, you know, because you don't want to gain too much fat. That's kind of a breath of fresh air. You just have to increase the meals by, you know, 200-300 calories a meal and make up for those other couple meals that you're no longer getting. Sometimes your body responds to that. If you go a little bit longer between meals, instead of doing a, hey, every 3 hours, you got to eat this, especially eat a protein source. Sometimes, you know, you might go 4 or 5 hours between a meal and get incredible results. The body's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, he used to feed me at this time. Now I got to go another hour or two without eating. All right, let's lose a little bit more fat. Let's change the way we look a little bit. That's something you can do. And if you do it right, it's not like you're starving yourself, okay? You have to know what you can add in and what you can add in without going too overboard. Now, with that being said, if it's to the point where you are going overboard, where it's harder to control your appetite when you're doing this, then maybe you need to keep it upwards around 5 or 6 meals a day. Some guys go more. Some guys go 7 or 8. I never liked that. I never thought it was very necessary. With my level of development, it wasn't, okay? And I've been as big as about 260. I just don't, that's when it's definitely a job. It is a fucking chore. I've never been someone that wakes up to an alarm in the middle of the night to get a meal in. Not that I don't respect that dedication. I definitely do. But there's certain things when it revolves around health that, you know, you're made to sleep. Most of your body's fat burning takes place when you sleep. So I just think there's only so much that I was willing to fuck with my overall health and my natural, you know, sleep patterns that I never went that direction. Now, there has been some occasions in the past where I'd wake up so damn hungry that I would eat something. But not usually. It was very, very few and far between these occasions where I did that. So maybe play with your meal frequency. Get this out of your head that unless you're eating 6 meals a day, you cannot get results. You certainly can get results. You know, most guys, they do eat more. But there have been people in the past that kind of went against the grain and had amazing physiques. So don't be afraid to adjust the meal frequency. Maybe sometimes if you do that, this doesn't feel like as much of a chore. All right? It's a breath of fresh air. It's not as stressful. There can be a lot of stress that comes with bodybuilding. So try that. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to talk about what I call damage control meals. All right? Now, for lack of better terms, this probably falls under the same classification as flexible dieting. I don't really care for the word or the phrase flexible dieting. Well, but it probably is what it is. I mean, flexible dieting is adhering to a certain level of calories or macronutrients through different foods and staying under a certain caloric range to avoid getting fat. All right. Now, I'm more of a calorie guy than I am a nitpick macronutrient guy. All right. To a point, if you're eating, let's say, 6 meals a day or even 5 meals a day or 4 meals a day, depending on how you're doing it, one of those meals could be something a little more enjoyable that keeps you under a certain caloric limit. You know, you can make, for example, French toast. You can use 4 or 5 slices of bread, regular white fucking bread, all right? It's still going to keep you around 50 or 60 grams of carbohydrates. And I think most bread, especially like your cheap, like white wheat bread or you know, Walmart bread or whatever. What's that other fucking Wonder Bread? Yeah. Yeah. That other fucking bread. Or John Durst. Or let me just name off all the fucking breads I can name off. You know, we're talking, what, 70 calories a slice? About 70 calories a slice. If you consider 4 or 5 slices with the egg that you use to make French toast, you can crack a couple eggs, throw them in a bowl with the sugar-free syrup. I put a little vanilla extract in the mix, some cinnamon. It's not even 400 calories. It really isn't, okay? And a lot of people say, wait, what about the protein? What about the protein? Well, that's what I call a damage control meal. The protein's not really a big deal because, A, I'm taking in enough protein throughout the rest of the day anyway, and B, I don't think you need as much protein as people claim you need to build muscle or to spare muscle when you're dieting. You just don't. I've never noticed a big difference with my body between taking in 2 grams of protein plus per pound of body weight or just 1 gram. I've just never noticed a difference. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I felt better with just 1 gram. I felt like everything was kind of operating more efficiently. It was like getting a new air filter in my body, man, you know? I think sometimes that protein, excessive protein, can bind your digestion. It's just not a good thing. So these meals I call damage control meals. I wouldn't do a damage control meal every meal. But sometimes what can happen, okay, that French toast is pretty damn good. All right, it's pretty good, even with the sugar-free syrup. I mean, compared to the way I normally eat, that shit is like heaven. It's under 400 calories. What that can do with a lot of people, it's a mental thing. It makes it very easy to stick to the grind, to be strict throughout the rest of the day because, you know, you gave yourself something that was pretty good. You had a little jump for life that day, and your jump for life gets smaller and smaller, man. I'm telling you, like, when I'm dieting hard, like hard, like all bets are off, fuck anything, that fuck taste, fuck French toast, fuck it all, a black coffee becomes my jump for life. You mean, holy shit, you might get a little bit of caffeine. I get a little bit of energy. This is great. I'm ready to go. Let's go to fucking war. Black coffee. Black coffee is the taste of goddamn discipline. That's what black coffee is. Fuck your pre-workout, your fruity punch, fruity fuck workout. Black coffee, man. Motherfuckers that are drinking black coffee are out to kill. They're out to kill. Right now, I've included a little bit of French toast, all right? But the point of what I'm telling you guys is this can make it easy to stay stricter with the diet, right? We're talking the long haul here. Well, I'm not talking, you know, your 8-week diet, 12-week diet, get ready for this, get ready for that. I mean, some of the shit people are getting ready for, it's like, you know, I'm getting ready for, you know, a dance or a wedding or, you know, a high school reunion or whatever, vacation. It's like, all right, so you're going to get in this kind of shape. And you're going to show up to this event with your clothes on? I don't understand it. Like, you know, you're putting yourself through a certain level of hell that I would expect someone to put themselves through if they were taking their clothes off. I can understand the beach more than like a reunion. What are you going to show up to your fucking high school class reunion, rip your shirt off? You know? All right. So the damage control meals, though, they definitely help when it comes to the lifestyle, this whole thing, because you know, I love to say to people, and then what? Oh, I'm going to do this cycle for 8 weeks, and then, you know, I'm going to add in this, and I'm going to do trend the last 6 weeks, and Anavar, and then I'm going to ride off into the sunset, happily ever after. And I say, and then what? I don't know. I'll figure it out then. And a lot of people, what happens is when they get to that part, and then what? They're out of it. They're hot, they're cold, they're you know, that teeter-totter effect is definitely there. And they never really look beyond average because of that hot and cold approach, okay? A damage control meal can get you away from that hot and cold approach. It can keep you hot the majority of the time. Like I said, I mean, I wouldn't do one of these meals like every meal. But like, let's say you did something like a low-calorie flatbread with some grilled chicken on it, some reduced-fat cheese or whatnot. And it was something that like, you know, it kind of tasted like something that you get to eat if you went out to eat. You know, threw that shit on the grill. One of my buddies does this. He swears by it. It's awesome. He takes 100-calorie flatbread, a flatbread, and throws some grilled chicken on it, some sort of like no-fat cheese and a couple other things, you know, vegetables and stuff, and he grills it. It's fucking amazing, and it's not a lot of calories at all. That would be, to me, like a damage control meal, all right? You're not eating some plain-ass chicken. Well, I never eat plain-ass chicken breast. I eat, you know, I season the meats. I never eat meat unseasoned. I just don't. All right? If you can't throw a little bit of seasoning on your meat and still get ripped up, you don't got it. I'm sorry. And you do need some sodium. You do. Sometimes these damage control meals, they can kind of be beneficial in a way because they may include a little extra sodium that you're not getting normally. And what that sodium does is it can keep everything kind of in check. It holds the fluid in the muscles. It can make the muscles more volumized. Sometimes when you go too low with the sodium, you kind of flatten out. And a lot of people mistake that as, holy shit, my abs went away. I'm getting fat. No, you're not getting fat. You're still lean. You just don't have the right amount of minerals in your body to assist with the water, you know, the hydration where it your muscle's mostly water, right? So anyway, the long and short of what I'm telling you is sometimes these damage control meals are not as bad as you think, okay? I don't like the term flexible dieting because a lot of people talk about that like that's every meal. Like, oh, I can just eat, you know, I don't know, for a while their Pop-Tarts are pretty popular. I don't know why, but I can eat Pop-Tarts and I can eat this and a low-calorie grilled cheese. And what happened is they thought they could do it like every single meal and get away from the discipline of meal prep or, you know, eating a certain amount of calories that maybe wasn't too far off of where they needed to be. So that's why I don't like the term flexible dieting. I like to call them damage control meals. One damage control meal a day, okay? You can still be lean. You can still look great. I don't see any difference in you know, for most people, when I say most people, I'm talking, you know, 10% body fat being pretty ripped up. Once you get under that, you know, you're starting to take some extremes. All right, but the average person, they might be trying to go from 15 or 20%, you know, down to 10, just looking healthy and looking lean and looking good. With this reduction in protein, okay, if there is a reduction in protein from swapping some meals or changing some meals up or whatever, like I said, it's not always a bad idea. It doesn't mean that your body is just going to lose catastrophic amounts of muscle mass just because one meal, say 10 or 15 grams of protein, as opposed to 40 or 50. You'll be awfully surprised at how good you can look adhering to a caloric boundary. Calories are number one to me. They're number one to me. Do you need protein to build muscle? Absolutely. All right. But, you know, I don't think that you need the amounts people say you need. And I don't think that you need to go as drastic in reducing certain other things like carbohydrates or healthy fat intake and or both just to achieve that. I don't think most people don't. When you're pushing the envelope, okay, I'm not talking about most people. But I'm talking about like fucking slice like a Ginzu knife. All bets are off. Let's win this motherfucking show. Yeah, then we'll talk, you know. But right now, this isn't geared towards that. All right, a rep tempo change up. By rep tempo, the speed in which you're pushing or doing the negative. A rep tempo change up is a very good way to change your training up. Sometimes, if you go to the gym and you're using a certain weight, right? Let's say, I'm just going to throw something out there. Let's say you're doing flat dumbbell presses for your chest. And you start with 60s and you jump to 80s and you go to 100s and then maybe you finish off with 120s. All right, it can be kind of nerve-wracking once you get to the 120s. It's heavy. And you know, you're struggling like hell. Let's say I want to get 8 reps. You might be struggling like hell to go from rep 6 to rep 8. It is putting stress on your joints. And chances are, if you failed at 8 reps last week, guess what? You're probably going to fail at 8 reps this week. You might fail at 6 or 7, depending on how your recovery is. Maybe you get 9 because it was a good day. But once you get to work weights like this, you don't just jump up 3 fucking reps in one workout, okay? It takes months and years to keep moving forward. So, maybe one day, you're kind of sick of failing at the same thing every time. Failing at the same rep scheme every time. It's kind of getting in your head, hey, this is getting a little bit boring. I'm getting tired of this. Maybe the heaviest you get that day is 60-pound dumbbells. But you change the rep tempo. You might spend or take 8 or 10 seconds to lower. Try taking 8 or 10 seconds to raise. No one does that shit. You know why they don't do that? Because they don't look as strong, right? Mark my words, though. If you're struggling and you're pushing and you're controlling that weight and you're disciplined enough to do that, fuck yeah, you're making progress, okay? The weight is nothing more than a tool to work the muscle. I don't give a shit what I'm lifting. I don't care whether it's... I did something today with 5 fucking pounds. It was a back exercise with 5 pounds. All right? It's hard to explain. I sit backwards on a free motion machine. And it's almost like if you take... It's the reverse of, let's say, a front cable delt raise. It's where I'm going backwards with like a hammer grip for like the lowest part of like my lat. And it's kind of a real short range of motion. But there's just something about moving it that direction that's very, very hard. It hits part of your back that you don't normally work in that way at all, if you work that part at all. 5 pounds. 5 pounds. And I would do sets of 15 per arm. And it was hard. I was flexing. I was pausing. I was really getting a full contraction. So I don't really give a fuck like what I'm lifting. Those days are over. I don't give a shit. All right. So changing that rep tempo can be a good thing. Maybe you work with a faster tempo. You go up in reps. One of the things I like to do with some exercises is my first set, I'll rip off 100 reps. 100 fucking reps. The other day I did an incline hammer strength press. I had a 45 on each side plus a 5. That's it. 45 and a 5. Super light. Set number one, 100 reps. After 50, it kind of became a mental game. It was fucking hard. I'm not going to do 100 reps with a 4 or 5 second negative. and are slow positive and or ball. I'm just not doing that, okay? But with light weights, you could kind of get away with like a pumping fashion, right? So people, a lot of people ask me, do you believe in, you know, fast reps or slow reps and less reps? And I say, I can't answer that. It's both. It just depends. Or what I'll do, a lot of times I do this like, it's like a flip-flop approach, okay? So like, let's say I did that exercise and I did 100 reps for set one. The next three sets might be 8 to 12 reps, and they might be like kind of normal reps, normal rep speed. And then I start the progressive resistance. So I just toasted myself with a, you know, single plate on each side for 100 reps. Now I might be getting to three plates a side, and you know, my chest is already kind of burnt. And it's like, yo, whoa, what the fuck? I got to dig deep now. I got to dig deep to get this shit. Then that exercise might be over with. Now, I say to myself, you know, you did a pretty good amount of reps. You got a really good pump going. Let's go do this other machine. And let's do a lightweight, but let's do a 10-second negative and a 10-second positive for sets of 6 to 8. Sets of 6 to 8. That's under, you're under the weight a long fucking time, man. A long time. What, you're not benefiting from it? You're fucking shaking. You're counting down in your head. You're controlling it. You know what happens when you train like this? You train like this for a little while, and then you go back to the way most people train. You're a fucking beast. You're a beast because you worked other types of strength. You worked your static strength. You worked the negative portion of your strength. You know, you might have done some holds. You did all kinds of crazy shit because this stuff is necessary. You got to understand. Once you've been doing this a long time, you have to do shit like this to progress. You have to. You cannot just keep going up and weight, up and weight, up and weight, up and weight. All right? Because you're going to get hurt. Or you're going to tear something. I guess that falls along the lines of getting hurt. You just can't do that. What most people can't do is they can't find other ways to exercise. They can't find those other ways to create intensity. There's a way to give your joints and tendons a break while still generating super high intensity. That's something that they never fucking dwell in. That's the point where most people give it up. They don't know how to keep going. They don't know ways to keep going. I do, you know? So you have to lose the ego. You have to. So a rep tempo changeup. That's another way to break the monotony of your training. Experiment with different things. Fuck how it looks, man. Fuck how it looks. Sometimes I'll do something I call it a 100 rep death set. I might do it with a dumbbell curl. I'll grab like a 10 or a 15 pound dumbbell. 100 fucking reps per arm. Boom, 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 boom. Right? I'm not doing that every set. I might do it in the beginning of the workout. Then start going up for regular like traditional 8 to 12 rep sets. I might do it at the end of the workout. Pull that shit out of me to get to 100 reps per arm. I know all kinds of ways to keep going and make progress. And maybe I'm giving you a little too much here in these podcasts. But I'm just telling you, you know, my goal is to help people, is to help people progress. This does give your joints a break while adhering to a high intensity training fashion. Okay. I like HIT, but HIT in the traditional sense is fewer sets, less time in the gym, more days off for recovery. That's really like the traditional Mike Mentzer, Arthur Jones, that style HIT. Ellington Darden, that's that style HIT. My version of HIT is the power and the length or the intensity of a muscular contraction in a given unit of time. All right? Like what I put in to one set in my workouts is probably more than most people put into their whole fucking workout. So it can give your joints a break. Just because you're lowering the weight doesn't necessarily mean that you can't keep making progress. Also, sometimes what these rep tempo changes do, especially when you slow it up, is you burn more calories. You just burn more calories. It keeps your heart rate up. All right, on to the next category. A cardio changeup. A cardio changeup as it relates to a mental break. It's hard to do cardio sometimes. If you've been at weights an hour and 20 minutes, you just say to yourself, man, I got to go home and make dinner. I got to pick the kids up from school. I got to do this or that. I got to get back to work. I just can't realistically see myself doing another 30 or 40 minutes in here on a Stairmaster or a treadmill, okay? Well, how do you normally do the Stairmaster or a treadmill? Do you go as hard as you can those entire 40 minutes? Probably not, because going as hard as you can would have you, like, dropped out a lot sooner than 40 minutes. why not say, hey, I'm just going to do 15 minutes today of cardio, but I'm going to go as hard as I can. I'm going to go as hard as I can for those 15 minutes, you know, and sweat my ass off. Sometimes this might be a benefit. You might burn more calories, the afterburn effect, when you leave the gym throughout the remainder of the day. Just that change up in intensity. Not only is it getting you to a new level, is it you know, relates to athleticism or, you know, endurance or whatever. And I know this goes against the grain. I know this totally goes against the grain. Most people say, oh, you know, you got to keep your heart rate elevated. You got to hit a certain heart rate for a certain length of time. You know, it's not really beneficial to do less than 25 or 30 minutes of cardio. Says who? 15 minutes of high intensity cardio. You know, I mean, if that was true, people wouldn't be doing Tabata. Tabata's like 4 minutes. 4 minutes of super hard cardio. And it fucking works. So I say play with that. I mean, a little bit. Like, you know, 15 minutes of cardio is better than no cardio, especially when you kick your intensity up. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is what I like to call active recovery. All right. How your love of training ties into your diet and your recovery ability. Some guys, you know, training's just part of their lifestyle. I'm one of them. I like to be in the gym, all right? I don't like to have to take a day or two off here and a day or two off there. I found ways to get great results and continue to go to the gym 5-6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week, sometimes seven. When I need a day off, then yeah, I need a day off. Am I stubborn about taking days off sometimes? Yes. But I do think that this overtraining thing has been highly exaggerated. I've found through my own experiences that your body is really fucking good at adapting and overcoming shit, you know? It's really good at adapting to things. I've seen guys that are like doing their residencies, you know, they're trying to get their PhDs to be some sort of doctor, sleeping like 4 hours at a time, no more than that, still, you know, making time for the gym and still getting results. I've seen people in the worst and hardest situations continue to get results. And that tells me that your body's really, really good at adapting to certain things. So I kind of got away from this whole overtraining mentality as it relates to number of days in a row that you're in the gym. One thing I do, though, is I do something called active recovery. Active recovery is where you can still train a certain muscle group, but you may not be pounding it into the ground. All right. Now, I believe that active recovery is even more important for the guys that are enhanced, for the people on TRT, the guys running HGH, shit like that. Maybe not more important, but maybe more beneficial. Because, look, at that point, a lot of the times it's just getting the blood and the nutrients to the muscle. It's pumping it up and, you know, stimulating it. All right. You don't have to live and die every day training arms or legs or what have you. But you can touch on them and still get results. So some of these splits that a lot of guys are doing, for the phase in the game that they're at, for their level of experience, it's not the right split for where they're at. Every training program can be a great program depending on where you're at. Some of the programs that I've come up with, my Shredded Ops program, Let the Blood Spill, all that stuff, I tell people over and over, it's not, that shit ain't for a beginner. You do that shit and you're a beginner, you'll be carried out of the gym on a fucking stretcher. All right? That's for guys that want to take it to the next level that have been in this quite a while. But there's different things that you can do as far as touch on a muscle, don't destroy, that can still get you really good results. They can burn calories and they can keep you doing what you love to do. You know, if you love going to the gym, I don't see any reason to stay out of the gym. I don't. I think you just have to train smarter. I always believe in hard training. People say smarter, not harder. I say both, smarter and harder. Anyway, so that's some things you guys can do. Again, I'm right at 40 minutes of this fucking podcast. I don't know why, man. It's hard to go beyond 40, right? You know, hit your mark and hit it hard, but I'm not just going to keep rambling. Anyway, that's all I have for today. Guys, train hard, be smart, and if you can take any of this stuff and put it to use, I'm telling you, you're probably going to get results. If you want a little bit more than that, a little more one-on-one guidance, hey, you know, I'm always available for hire or a consult or what have you. I can help get you on the right track. So thanks again. Thanks everybody that follows. We'll talk to you next time. Train hard. This is JD. I am out.